Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
घर से डोला चला लादनी का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का घर से डोला चला लादनी का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने हर तरह से संभाला था हमने हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है घर की यादों में वो खो रही है पूछो और माँ का तरपना न पूछो आज बाबुल का रोना न पूछो और माँ का तरपना न पूछो घर से डोला चला लादनी का क्या क्या नजारा है ये प्यारी प्यारी वो गुड़िया बिछूती प्यारी प्यारी वो गुड़िया बिछूती हाय बचपन की सखियां बिछूती सुना सुना हुआ घर का आंगन ले ले गया ले गया उसको साजन सुना सुना हुआ घर का आंगन सुना सुना हुआ घर का आंगन ले गया ले उसको साजन तुझको जाना था एक रोज बेटी घर बसाना था एक रोज बेटी
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم 3 minutes after 11 South African time It's a beautiful mashallah Tuesday morning And of course it's time for the bliss of marriage My name Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia And of course our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustad Who's with us this morning He's not in front of me He's not in the studio But of course he's on his way to his trip He's on safar at the moment. I think, if I'm not mistaken, our beloved Honorable Ustad, he is at the OR Tambo Airport. So, inshallah, we will have to find out for the listeners, where is our beloved Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafizahullah. I want to welcome the listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and Company. And I want to welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Well, let's welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface, on this beautiful, mashallah, Tuesday morning. Remember, part one, every Tuesday is between 11 to 12. Part 2, every Wednesday is between 11 to 12. Well, let's go and cross over to our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad on this early Tuesday morning. Ustad, welcome to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khair. Yes, you guessed exactly right. We are here at OR Tambo Airport. And inshallah, after the program, then we will have salat and so forth. And then inshallah, we'll be leaving for East London tonight. Inshallah, the program. Allah Jalla wa Ala make it easy.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. Allah protect you and Abba Fatima, and Allah take you safely, Ustad, and bring you back safely, inshallah. Ustad, let's start first, inshallah, this is from Fanria. It says, what should be done if a daughter and father are very close? Ustad, anonymous.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This question is what we will call an open question, meaning it can be interpreted in two, three different ways. If you say a father and a daughter are very close, so very close can be they have a lot of love, they have a lot of respect for one another and so forth. So that is very, very good. And that is what Islam teaches. So remember, the mother, the father then loves his daughter, the daughter loves the father, and they are on the same wavelength and so forth. So that is acceptable. A very good read, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. If you mean that they are very close, there's some haram activity going on, then obviously that is totally haram. And then for the daughter to stay there with the father definitely is unacceptable, because he will exploit the situation and so forth and so on. And third one, that what are they trying to say that they're very close? So are they very close because of Islam, or because you must remember, or they are on one side and lust and desires, so they need to be a bit more specific and so forth. Anyway, from our side, we will always teach you and tell you that every parent and every father, mother, grandparent should read Surah 25, verse 74, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنٍ. O beloved Allah, grant us our spouses and grant us the children that are the coolness of the eyes, and remember that each one of us should be reading the Asma'ul Husna, chapter 7, verse 180. Almighty Allah commands us, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Almighty Allah is commanding you that you should be reading and invoking the names and reading the names of Almighty Allah, the beautiful 99 names. And hadith in Bukhari Sharif, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, مَنْ حَفِظَهَا دَخَلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلُ الْجَنَّةِ. The person who memorizes it, the 99 beautiful names, he enters Jannah and paradise, the person who reads it, even looking inside. So mashallah, Allah will admit him or her into Jannah and paradise. Authentic hadith, and read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud. Inshallah, Allah will enhance the love between parents and children.
Ustad, a student of Deen says that I've been married for just over a year and have been staying with my in-laws. I now want to move out with my husband and stay on our own, dear Mufti. My husband is refusing, stating he needs to stay with his parents because he needs to look after them. I don't think this is the case, Mufti Saab, since my husband is not working at all and we are therefore totally reliant on his parents. His parents are wealthy, and when I have brought up the issue about my husband getting a job, they are refusing to allow him to work. Student of Deen, Ustad.
Again, I don't understand. You must remember that you, as a daughter, as a student of Deen, you studied in a madrasa, Darul Uloom, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Let's just go back 2 years or 1.5 year, because you say you married 1.5 year, 1 year or so. So when the proposal came, did you ever mention that from start you want to live separate, or did you agree that you will live with the in-laws? So from my side, in this day and this age, I strongly recommend that in 80-90% of the cases, from the start, you must live separately. Because remember, once mother-in-law, daughter-in-law start tangling, wrangling with one another, then to patch up that mess, it takes a long, long time. And always, you must remember, the scars will remain. So therefore, it is your mistake if you didn't address this. And if you addressed it and they told you, no, just stay, and so forth, remember, then is they are in the wrong. Second issue is this. I find it strange that you say you are a student of Deen and your husband is not working. So what he does the whole day? Just sleep and watch TV or what? Because the parents are very, very wealthy and rich. He's sitting on his laurels and thinking of Hadi or what? So, or is there a family business, and then he goes there when he feels like, he doesn't go when he feels like, because it's enough money there. So obviously that is now spoiling the son and so forth. So third one, you must tell them, this is the solution now. First, you and your husband must have a discussion and tell him, see, 1 year you already stayed here, And now you can't be continuing to stay there. The situation is unacceptable, untenable, and you have to go separate. And that's your Islamic right, to have a separate house, separate bedroom, separate bathroom, separate kitchen, separate, all that. That Islamic thing is your right. Then, if they make big noise and so forth and so on, then tell them, okay, that I'll go to my parents' place, and then when you sort everything out, then I'll come back. So you make condition like that and so forth. For the parents to tell the son that he must just stay there, and they know that they can afford giving him even a rented house if they don't buy a house, so there'll be more peace, there'll be more respect and everything. And if what you are saying is true, that the son is just killing time, wasting time, and he's wasting his life actually, so that is a great disservice the parents do to their children. You must remember many of our Muslim parents who are very wealthy and very rich, this is how they spoil their children, and then by the time they are gone, you will see the son is addicted to Allah forbid, either to gambling, either to, you understand, pornography, or either, you must remember, to women, or addicted to drugs, and because he had ample time, and you know the idle mind is the devil's workshop. So the parents must address this issue, and you must address this issue, but the first thing you must do is speak to your husband, try and win him over on your side, and tell him he has to look at the long term, that not only at the short term, and he's just looking for an excuse, he has to stay with his parents, it's suiting him fine to sit on his laurels and think of Hadi.
I see the student of Deen says, my daddy says that we did not know that he was like that, so I am few weeks pregnant, Ustad, so she's saying, can I ask for a talak? My daddy says I must ask for a talak and walk out before it's too late, Ustad.
No. Your daddy and them also giving a wrong upside down advice. So first of all, now you see, that's the point I can never understand. When the proposal came, you must be honest, and your parents, you don't have to tell me in your heart. When the proposal came, they came with a smart Porsche, they came with a smart Ferrari, and this and that. So you and your parents, you said, I don't know how to lage. You see, mal bi poche, mal dar bi poche, and all lot of che and che, and under the che also this money also. So you must remember everywhere all these things were going. So you didn't know he's like this. The first thing you normally would ask, right? What is your age? What work you do? That which masjid you go? Which ulama you know? And all this, where will I stay if we get married? These are the things that you will ask or the first meeting already, and so forth. Now you are pregnant, and now they say, Masud Talak, totally wrong advice. This is the time you have to play your trump card. You have to tell your husband that, see, you are pregnant, and now you must get your own home, even if it's an outbuilding, even if it's a small flat or whatever, but you can't be staying there, and you can't be asking for divorce and all these type of things now. Do you want your son, your daughter to grow up with a single parent? Obviously not. And then they will go to court because they are very, very rich. And then there will be big, big court cases then for the child, the custody, and a lot of issues. So with due respect to your parents, they're not thinking straight. They're thinking just emotionally. But they to blame. They're not part of the solution. They're part of the problem. So again, we come back to what I told you 100 times and 1,000 times already. Remember the first hadith, Bukhari Sharif, Mishkat Sharif, Riyadu Salihin, innamal a'malu bin niyat. That anything you do in life, whether it's our religious matters or our worldly affairs, ask yourself, what is your motive? What is your intention? Jaisi niyat, waisi barakat. If you ask me, I don't know you. I don't know your husband. I don't know the family. I don't know any one of you. But I'm here as an elder brother, as an elder advisor, just to advise you. Your people's intention from day one was very tainted and polluted. You just looked at the mal, and he looked at the jamal, and he looked at your beauty, and you looked at the wealth, and you got married. Now you sit with this big mess here. So better rectify your intentions, and then inshallah, things, but you must move out separately. That will be the only solution.
Ustad, a family lady has left her husband's hometown to become a doctor in a city. The couple meet monthly. Her family encourages this because they say she is very, very clever. Is this acceptable in Islam? Will she have barakah? Anonymous, Ustad.
Any any person who's a Muslim and got his thinking straight will tell you it's absolutely haram. If you tell people for deen, they must make sacrifice. They will tell you, how can you do this and this? I told you my story. That on 12th of March, I left South Africa in 1974. On the 11th of March was a Sunday, Heidelberg, small little town. So the men all came to like greet me and so forth. I was shaking, you know. First time in my life, I'm going overseas. So two people made comments. One person said to a Jao Molvi Banwano, Pagar bo or chuche. So you're going to become a Molvi. The wages is very little, you know. Then the other Baji got more himmat. He said, both passed away, Allah give them Jannatul Firdaus. The other Baji said, trustee bo karab che. The trustees are very bad, you know. And that you must never work for trustees and all of them. Instead of giving me encouragement, they're speaking all these kind of things here. Now look at this. A couple is married. So now she's gone. She left the husband. Allah alone knows if they got children or not. And now she's studying in another town to become a doctor. You think that is right? Absolutely haram. And whoever is encouraging her, you also guilty of absolute haram. Surah 5, verse number 2. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. That you must never cooperate and assist in sin and transgression. The husband also got no brains. The family also got no brains. And she also got no brains. What clever is that, Islamically? So when you are uprooting the family just for one lousy medical certificate and so forth, how many million doctors there are today? And they can't even practice because you must remember of the environment and so many things and all these type of things. So a very, very bad, terrible decision, totally haram from an Islamic perspective.
Somebody says, I wish to remain anonymous. I apologize for the long message. Ustad, please advise. But I'm just going to break it into bits, Ustad. It says, as we come to the end of the month, when we have to go for the monthly grocery shopping, this ends up creating many, many problems between my husband and I. And the problem is about money. He keeps on swearing at me and tells me that I'm a miser. But Mufti Saab, he hardly spends. His expense is only, it says here, for the food and the light and water and general toiletries. We don't even have rent to pay or a car to pay off. But he wants me to do every single thing, Ustad.
Obviously, your husband has got a very, very small... We remember this year. In this program, Bliss of Marriage, we answer the questions as they are posed to us. We all know it's one side of the story. So sometimes people will send questions that are slanted also so that the answer must suit them. But I try and balance it and give both sides of the story. But obviously, we are just taking it as face value. So if what you are saying is true, then the husband definitely is not fulfilling his duties. Almighty Allah has commanded us, the husband. Surah 4, chapter 4, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And treat your wives with justice, with respect and love. How you want your son-in-law to treat your daughter, you must treat your wife better than that. Remember that. Then you are a good husband. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam set the precedent for humanity and posterity. Our mother Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq radiallahu anhuma, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu giladli, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's beloved daughter Sayyida Aisha said radiallahu anha. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khayrukum khayrukum li ahlikum wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The hadith authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and your children. I, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, am the best to my wives and my children. So what good is all that money? You don't have to pay rental. You don't have to pay for a car. All that is paid off, but you can't spend on your wife. You can't spend on your children. So is that wealth a rahma or a zahma? Rahma means mercy and zahma means calamity, disaster. So he wants you just to work, 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 but he does not show any appreciation. My brother, that type of wealth is a curse. So loosen your hand and spend on your wife and children. Remember that you're not doing them a favor. It is something compulsory upon you to do. And if he is so miserly, he don't want to spend anything, then there's a hadith in Bukhari Sharif. There's Abu Sufyan, he's Muslim. He embraced Islam on the occasion of Fatih Makkah. He's Sahabi radiallahu anhu arda. His wife is Hind. You can say Hind or Hinda, both is acceptable. So Hinda radiallahu anha. So He was a rajulun mumsikun, misikun, with a different word you find. He was but tight with the money and so forth. So she, Hinda radiallahu anha, came, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu sallam, inna basafya rajulun shahihun. He's sick, he's very, you know, he's stingy and a little bit hard. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi sallam told her, for Sayyida Hinda radiallahu anha, khudi bil ma'roof. It is in Bukhari Sharif. So help yourself. So help yourself, for you ladies in this day, this age, means you take with one hand. Don't take with both hands. If you take with both hands, then there's a bigger problem in your life. So little bit you can help yourself, because he's so stingy and so forth, without his permission, if he's not giving you anything. So that is the last resort, not the first option.
I see we've got a listener who starts from India. It says, may India Che. The sister, I think, who started, she's speaking, as I'm speaking to you, I'm reading the question. She's speaking on behalf of her sister. Her sister's name is Shahana, right? It says here, Mufti Saab, if husband makes talaq, papers and signs on it, he do not give it to his wife because he knew that she is pregnant. So he did not give her, but after delivery he changed his mood and don't give the paper to his wife. And the wife doesn't know about these papers. After 4 years, she got the papers. Is this talaq or not? Because there's no signature or witness on this paper. Please tell me, is this talaq or not? For my sister from India, Ustad.
Meri muhtaram behan Hamshira, India mein, main Urdu mein bhi aur English mein dono zuban mein aapko samjha dunga, taake aake aapke dimag sharif mein sahi taur par sahi baith jaye. Jab shohar ne kagaz par likha ke wo jo hai talaq de rahe, to agar usne likha ek talaq to ek talaq ho gaya, agar likha do talaq to do talaq waqi ho gaya, agar likha teen talaq to teen talaq ho gaya. Agar che usne biwi ko nahi di, agar che usne dastakhat nahi ki, lekin wo biwi, wo behan aapki, unki biwi wo hamal se thi, phir jo hai jab bachcha paida hua unka dimag sahi aa gaya to kaha ke nahi main nahi deta hu ye wo, lekin wo talaq to us waqt ho gaya tha jis waqt usne likha tha kagaz par. Ab jo hai wo 4 saal ke baad inko pata chala ye wo, to humko ye aap bata dijiye ke jab usne likha kitne talaq likha, 1, 2, 3, to agar 3 likha tha to wo bachcha jo hai phir jo hai ye jitne bacche hai to phir to musibat hai agar uske baad aur bacche ho gaye, wo to haram bacche honge agar 3 talaq ho gaye. To Allah taala hi jante kya surat hal hai. So anyway, what I told the lady is this: once the husband wrote the talaq on the paper, if he wrote one talaq, is one talaq. If he wrote two, then is two talaq. Talaq means divorce. If he wrote three, is three. Even though he did not hand over that paper to his wife, even though he did not sign it, but the talaq is valid. So what happens in a case like this? She was pregnant, expecting, and then when she gave birth, then he realized this is a handsome boy, beautiful daughter, all that. So they continued loving. If it was one talaq or two talaq, so still it's fine. But if he gave three talaq, then that first child, that will still be halal, because remember that they were living together as husband and wife. But after that, because she only came to know after 4 years, according to her sister, so if there's other children and there's three talaq, then those other children will be harami and illegitimate children. Now this is the foolishness and ignorance of people, that what games they play, you know. So we must ascertain that how many talaq that husband gave and wrote on that piece of paper.
I see the sister says, he says, mujhe maaf kar do, Ustad. He's asking for maaf, Ustad.
Maaf to Allah Taala sab karte hai. Hum to aapko jante bhi nahi, na aapke biwi ko jante hai. Hum to bas aapko jo hai wo nasihat ke taur par sab kuch. Lekin do talaq kitne diye aapne? Teen talaq de ka ek ke do ke kya surat hal hai? To ye masla hai asal mein. Then maaf, Allah forgives everybody provided we sincere. We are just here to help you, assist you and guide you.
Teen talaq ustaz.
She gave three.
Ji, she says ye teen talaq ji.
हाँ तो तीन तलाक तो फिनिश, देन मसला तो खत्म हो गया. और इस पहले बच्चे के बाद और बच्चे भी हुए. आज के दिन बहन वहाँ इंडिया में, वो पहले बच्चे के बाद जो है फिर और भी बच्चे हुए कि नहीं, या सिर्फ एक ही बच्चा है?
दो बच्चा उस्ताद.
हाँ, सो द फर्स्ट चाइल्ड, वो पहला लड़का या लड़की, وہ تو حلال ہے لیکن وہ دوسرا جو ہے وہ حرام ہے, اور وہ حرام بچہ ان کا نسب جو ہے وہ والدہ کی طرف. تو جو ہے سین کیس لائک دس واٹ ول ہیپن, دا فرسٹ چائلڈ دا لینیج ول گو ٹو دا فادر بیکاز حلال چائلڈ, اینڈ دا سیکنڈ چائلڈ دیٹ چائلڈ لینیج ول گو ٹو دا مدر حرام چائلڈ. یو سی آل دیز تھنگز دے لیونگ ان سن ایوری مومنٹ اللہ تعالیٰ کرسز آن دیم. آپ اپنی ہمشیرہ بہن کو بتا دیجیے کہ فوراً علیحدگی اختیار کرے ان سے, ان کے ساتھ رہنا بالکل حرام ہے, اور وہ دوسرا بچہ بھی حرامی ہے, اور ان کا نصب جو ہے وہ والدہ کی طرف جائے گا نہ کہ والد صاحب کی طرف, پہلا بچہ والد کی طرف ہے. Okay, we carry on.
Ustad, Lanesha says, I received a marriage proposal. We are both happy to marry each other. Is it necessary to read Istikhara Namaz for direction, or should we do what our hearts say, Ustad?
MashaAllah, if you happy, he's happy, and both of you are Muslims and you belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you are not the Kuffar, Shias or Qadianis or Agahadis and these crooked people and so forth, then in a case like that you get married, but there's one proviso, mm-hmm. one condition, and that is for you, the sister, the lady who wants to get married, your father or your brother or somebody who is, you know, senior, they must give permission. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La nikaha illa biwaliyin. The nikah is not valid. The marriage is not valid until and unless the wali, wali means the biological father, biological dada, paternal grandfather, or the brother, not brother small, like 8, 10 years old, 20, 25, mm-hmm. 30 years old, like that. Mm-hmm. So they must give permission, and then you have two witnesses, and then the nikah can go ahead and so forth. So you must have that permission, otherwise your nikah will not be valid. Mm. And remember, the hadith is authentic and sahih in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, various compilations, Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad. So how you say, La ilaha illallah. Truly, it is not worthy of worship except all Majallah Jalla Wala in Islam. La nikaha illa biwaliyin. That the girl's father must give permission. If the girl embraced Islam or something, her family are non-Muslim, that's a different issue. The imam or the sheikh or whoever, he will become the wali and the guardian for her. But in your case, it's not like that. So make sure that your father and them are pleased, they give consent, then you get married. Get married now in Shawwal is the best month to get married in Shawwal. Our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha says, Inna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tazawwaja bi fi Shawwal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nikah with me, with Siddiqa Aisha, to place in Shawwal, and she would encourage the family members to get married in Shawwal. So instead of delaying, procrastinating, deferring it, then the whole day you're going to send WhatsApp and SMS and talk all haram, get married immediately, perform the nikah in the masjid, waj'aluhu fil masajid, the hadith in Tirmidhi. So do it, you got the best month, you got the best place, and do quick, first tabiqul khairat. You see, when we got married, I didn't have money for mahar also, you know myself. Yeah, I was going to the masjid, my father told me, you got money for mahar, I just smiled. So he took out 40 rand, so he gave me. So then he took out 1 rand, still he spent it, then I bought it. So 41 rand, you see, so that was that those days there, you know, so this type of things. Yeah. So we got married, no mahar, no nothing, you understand? And then we went overseas, everything. My father paid for everything. Allah gave him Jannatul Firdaus and everything. We didn't take from nobody money or anything. So then we stayed there, everything in Karachi, 2 cups, 2 saucers, 2 teaspoons, everything. Haji Bhai Padia and them came, Haji Abu Arbi and them came, and another 2-3 people came, 4-5 of them. So there were only 2 cups, 2 saucers. So Bhai Mota was very sharp, you know, by Padia. So he realized that this guy only got 2 cups. So I gave tea, the other guys all had to wait and all that, you see. So he told me, you must stay like this in South Africa also. I said, Inshallah. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. That when you get married, Allah bring more and more barakat for you. So il-tamisul ghina bin nikah. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's fatwa in Sunan Sayyid bin Mansur, that look for richness in nikah. Put your trust in Allah, and then Allah will open all the doors for you.
Husada, the sister says, you made me so happy. But she says, earlier on you were mentioning, is both Muslims or not. She says she's a Muslim and she was born a Muslim. But of course, the boy that she's getting married to, Ustad, he was not a Muslim, but he's a Muslim now. He's a revert. He did have a bad past. But alhamdulillah, they say that he's changed, Ustad. So, any advice from that side, should I still go ahead with it? She is a Hafiza, Ustad.
My sister, you are a Muslima, you're a Hafiza, and I don't know the person's background. Was he a Hindu? Was he a Christian? Was he a Jew? Was he atheist? All the, you say he had a bad past. So that is for you, that your call now, and your parents. What about your parents? What do they say? So they must then make the decision and so forth. And then in that case for you, read now with me, sister Aisha, Fatima,
he Jamila. He says Hindu, Ustad. Hindu.
Hindu, right. So you must remember that he was a Hindu and he embraced Islam. So he, did he learn about Islam or he just married of convenience? He just became Muslim, you understand, just to take advantage of you. So many times we know all these type of things happen. So he must prove himself. Does he read five steps salat? Is he going for classes to the ulama and the maulanas and so forth? And you read with me, sister Aisha, Zainab, Jamila, whatever Rukaya your name is. Allahumma. Oh, beloved Allah, khirli, khara, khere, khirli, Allah, you select the best for me, wakhtarli, and you choose for me, Allahumma, khirli, wakhtarli. After all that, still let your parents make the decision. You see, if you ask me, I don't know you, I don't know the boy and everything. I will tell you this. If he's showing commitment to Islam, he's reading five daily salat, he's going, you understand, for to classes, let him go 40 days tabligh also and all these type of things. So then we know there's some commitment. If he just became Muslim yesterday, 1 week ago, 1 month ago, and now he wants to marry you and all that, that brings about a lot of issues, you understand? It can just be, he wants to marry you, use you, after that, deflower you, and then end of the day, you're a Hafiza. So why spoil your life then? But it's your decision and your parents' decision. We are here just to guide you.
Ustad, there's one more before we go, inshallah, for an ad break. It says here that how much money must be given to a wife for personal use, excluding, Ustad, the normal expenses such as bread and milk, etc. Ustad, anonymous.
Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, if you study Surah 25, you know, now and then I give reference of Surah 25, Surah Furqan, and if you read the ending there, Almighty Allah speaks about, you know, I tell you Surah 25 verse 74. So before that, you will see Almighty Allah speaks of Ibadur Rahman, the Awliyaullah, the pious people, the devout servants of Almighty Allah. So Umar bin Abdul Aziz Rahimahullah, who ruled this Ummah from the year 99 to 101, he was a Khalifa, Amirul Mu'mineen, and remember, a giant of a person, golden rule of his, it was known as Umar Thani, the second Umar. Now he's getting married to who? The Khalifa's daughter. So they asked him, how much are you going to give? He said, I give what Allah says in the Quran. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. So I'm getting married, example, just to give you example. I'm sitting here with my wife, you understand, what would get married now? So when you spend the pious people, let me use rifu, you don't go and become extravagant and say, I'll give you a million. Well, let me yakturu, and you don't become so miserly and stingy and say, I'll give you 100 grand. So you spend on them, wakana baina zalika kawama. In between you give. So you look at your wages, you look at your assets, you look at this, you look at that, and so forth and so on. So that's the amount you must give. So Islam says you don't go to one extreme and start giving thousands and millions, and you don't become so miserly and stingy that you don't want to spend anything. So khairul umuri awsatuha. The best part is the middle part. So you know how much you own, what are your assets and so forth, but I'll give you this advice. One is the mahar, the marital gift you give, but your wife, you must pay mahar every week, every month and so forth. Whenever I deliver lectures, and before the nikah, I always tell the husband to be the groom. I tell them, see, you're paying mahar now, one bruga coin, 10,000, 5,000, 15, 20, 30, whatever it is. But don't let be the ending of it. Every week, every month, give something to your wife. That is a akhlaqi farz. That is a moral obligation. Oh, my honey, take this money. Oh, my poppy, my darling, my sweetheart. So without asking questions, you understand? So you must remember that. You can't do like what I'm doing. I'm sitting here, I don't have 1 cent in my pocket. You understand? So everything my wife got. She got the money, she got the debit card, credit card, so what. All these things there that you won't do, and I'm telling you to do that. So because I don't like all these things there, my pocket just troubles me. In my pocket, I'll have the key at Miswak and all the finish. So simple time, you understand? Yeah. So if any group comes, I'll give you one Miswak. This time of this year, Allah protect us. Allahu khairun hafidhu wa rahmur rahimin. So the point I'm making, everything of Islam is the best. Remember that. So what we must do, everything, choose the middle path. That is the amount you must spend. But you husbands, spend on your wives lovingly and willingly. You know, I give you one story quickly, your next story. There's a book called Akhbar-e-Umar. In Arabic, Allama Tantawi Rahimahullah wrote. So he wrote many, many things of Sayyidina Umar, all subheadings. So he writes, Qissa to Umar wal A'rabi, the story of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu and the Bedouin. So the Bedouin came from his house to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's house in Medina. And, you know, he came to the door, he took a U-turn, he ran away, he went away. Sayyidina Umar with a corner of the eye saw him. He sent the khadim, the worker, they said, call that person. They summoned him, he said, Amirul Mu'minin is calling you. He came very reluctantly. He said, you came to my door, why you went away? He said, please, Amirul Mu'minin, just forget it, give me permission, I want to go. He said, no, I insist. He said, see, Amirul Mu'minin said, Umar, you insisting, therefore I'm telling you. You see, I told my wife few words. I told my wife few words. She told me so many paragraphs and she gave me a tongue lashing, you know. My heart was broken, so I came here to discuss it with you. I heard your wife shouting you. I said, what does Amirul Mu'minin is going to help me? Me and he both in the same boat. See, said Umar. The man who conquered one third half the world in his time. Said Umar said, it's right, me and you in the same boat. Now let's try and solve the problem. Who looks after you and your children? He said, my wife. Who cooks for you? He said, my wife. Who cleans your house? Your wife. Who looks after your valuables? Wife. Who, you must remember, that teaches the children? Your wife. He asked all. So he said, Sayyidina Umar was a genius. Inna Allah yantariqu al-haqqa ala lisani Umar wa qalbihi. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, what used to come out from the Mubarak mouth of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was the truth. Open Mishkan Sharif, you will find it. So when that is the case, once in a while, if the wife blows a casket, you understood? So this type of things here, she goes and on and on. So you must just keep silent or walk away, go to the masjid and carry on with life. Once in a while if they do that. So sometime in our house, you understand, when the wife blows a casket or whatever, so I say, I have to bring the vaccine. Because nowadays they all speak of vaccine, you know that. So I say, I have to bring the vaccine. So that's where the argument gets finished. Then. You understood? So you must. So use some common sense in your marriage also. I know common sense is not common, but use the common sense.
I see there's a mother from Roshni who starts saying that, but dear Mufti Saab, how did Maulana Arafat manage? He is now on number 3, Ustad.
That you'll have to ask him. I hope he's not thinking of number 4.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. I just love the promo. La balaltum, our beloved Hazrat Maulana Suleiman Qattani, damat barakatuhum. But nevertheless, it's a beautiful Tuesday morning. Yes, it's the bliss of marriage. 0847863132. International overseas listeners, +27847863132. Before we go to our beloved Fadilatul Ustad, I know he's listening. There are many, many listeners asking if our beloved Ustad could just give his rundown for his tour, I think Port Elizabeth tour. So maybe inshallah Ustad can just tell us where Ustad will be tonight, what time, and tomorrow, and of course Thursday and Friday. So Ustad, listeners want to know, what's your rundown, Ustad, for your program, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First we start, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. You know, each day Friday, I was there in Heidelberg, Belfort, and I told you that this morning also, that the brother I met, Abdul Sattar Janu, he passed away. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Then the Saturday, the day after Eid, I went to Trichardt to visit my sister, my niece and them. And now that brother, Abu Bakr Daya, on the 2nd, 3rd of May, we're just looking at, you understand, 2 weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago. So you must remember that he passed away during Ramadan, and now his wife passed away, Hajra Daya, the wife of late Abu Bakr Daya, mother of Hafiz Ahmed. So the pickup time is 2:30 day in Trichardt, Janaza 3 o'clock. At the Bethal Cemetery, we make dua, Allah Jalla Wala grant our auntie Hajra Daya Jannatul Firdaus. Allah Jalla grant our Abu Bakr Daya, who passed away this Ramadan, just I think it's 2-3 weeks ago. Allah Jalla Wala grant him also Jannatul Firdaus Il A'la, you know. So imagine, husband went, the wife gone, Allah make easy for all the family and the children, grant them Sabr Jameel. My program, inshallah, all the programs at night after Isha. Tonight, inshallah, in the bright or whatever they call it, Masjid Day in East London, Braylon Masjid they call. So Braylon, that is after Isha there tonight, inshallah. And any person want all the details, you contact. He's our student in Darul Newcastle. He's a big shot doctor and so forth. Dr. Ismail Mullah, Hafiz Dr. Ismail Mullah. So mashallah, I'm his guest there in East London. So that is tonight. Then Wednesday night, inshallah, I will be there in Queenstown. And the program there will be, mashallah, after Isha in the Jummah Masjid. There our host will be Dr. Magda, inshallah. So in Queenstown, this Wednesday night. Then Thursday night we will be there in King Williamstown. Remember, after Isha also the program. And then Friday morning after Fajr, I'll be leaving from there and going to Port Elizabeth, inshallah, Aziz. Then the Jummah, I will be in PE in Masjid Abu Bakr, the Darul Uloom there. So mashallah, we will have that. And there, mashallah, our brother who is in charge is Hafiz Salim Bantu. So, you know, Hafiz Salim Ali, mashallah, good friend of ours. Then Friday night, mashallah, after Isha, will be in Masjid al-Salihin in Salt Lake. The Isha Salat day is 7:10, 10 past 7. So that will be Friday night. Then Saturday morning, because I'll be staying in that area day, inshallah, so in Rudolph Street, after Fajr, the Masjid there, so 6:15 is the Fajr Salat there. So after Fajr, there will be a program. And then on Saturday, I'll be visiting 2-3 madrasas, my students, some of them and others. So mashallah, so there's no other program. These are the programs, inshallah. Allah Jalla Wala make it easy and ameen. Accept it and a means of hidayat.
Ameen, 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 thumma ameen. Ustad, I am now of marriageable age. Good proposals are coming, but I'm just not interested. Family members are pressurizing me, but I am just not interested. Any du'as or advice on the way forward? Student of Deen, Ustad.
Why you not interested? You must remember that if you are 18, 20, 21, 22, this is the right age for you to get married, my daughter, my sister. And remember, maybe you are a Jamal, that you are a paragon of beauty, and now you feel, no, let them wait, and I'll show them, and this and all that. So you must say, is there something wrong with you? Are you ill? Are you sick? Or what? Or so forth. Are you fearing? Because you hear of so many divorces, and divorces spiraling out of control. So let me give you 2-3 tips, as we say, you know. Number one, every day you say you're student of Deen, if you can, wake up 3-4 o'clock in the morning and read 2, 4, 6, 8 rakat, and in the sajda, even during the day with your salat, read Surah 25, verse 74, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Second one, marry a boy whose aqidah and belief is 100% correct, and he belongs to Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. He's meticulous, particular of his 5 daily salat on time with Jama'at, and his income is 100% halal and that, good character and so forth, even if he's poor, and maybe not so fair looking and all this. So with that person, you will then be good and have happy, inshallah. Don't make the mistake of only looking at Mal and Jamal. Then he must be a rich person, and he must be a paragon of handsomeness. He must be 6 feet tall. I'm 6 feet tall, but the Opa, you know, old man now. Tired and retired, old man, old and cold. So he must be 6 feet tall and must have green eyes and blue eyes. So don't make that mistake there in this thing. If it comes worth, it comes worth. That's okay. But don't make that priority, number one. And then number two, number three, make sure from day one you live separate. And then inshallah, everything Allah will make easy. But you must get married. Get married now, inshallah. Don't delay. Tell them, fine, I get married and take your parents' dua. Let me give you one more lesson. One day I won't take his name. He's a student with me. He studied with me, everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when he got married, he was crying a lot. So I asked him why. He said, told me one thing that will live with me for long. He said, you don't know how lucky you are. I'm lucky. I asked him why. He said, you know, you got married while you were studying all that. Both your parents were there, they're there, they enjoyed everything, that your son is married. See, today I'm marrying. My father is not here, my mother is not here. One of them, or both weren't there. Meaning they passed away. So you, Betty, my daughter, it doesn't happen. You delay, tomorrow your father, mother passes away, and then you get married, then you will be living in the regret. I had so many proposals, I just declined them, rejected them, and then when you get married, either your father, mother, both are not there, or one of them is not there, take their du'as, Betty. Remember that. Always take your parents' du'as, but make sure from day one you live separate. So inshallah, things will go well with you.
Ustad, my sister-in-law left her husband, and now she keeps on calling my husband to her place and making him feel guilty. What can I do and pray, Ustad?
You must tell your husband it's haram for him to go there. You must remember that she's going to put on a sympathy. She wants sympathy and empathy. And then when your husband is there, she's alone there. Wonder what things can happen. So you must tell your husband it's haram for him to go there. It's haram to speak to her. And tell her she got no business to call your husband. Her house broke. Allah alone knows who's right, who's wrong. I normally say both parties are wrong. You understand? We know it can be that the wife is wrong. We know that the husband can be wrong. But 80%, 90% today what happens, both parties are wrong. So she's just now begging for sympathy. And your husband may be good heart, or he also got a hidden agenda. Maybe he's good heart, he wants to go help her. And then bad agenda, he wants to exploit the situation. How many incidents I know that the lady got divorced, and then the sister's husband and so forth said, let me help them. He helped them. They ended up going in bed together and doing committing adultery and what things happened. How many incidents I know like that? So you must put a stop to it. Tell your husband it's haram for you to go, and tell that lady there that it's haram for her to contact your husband. So if they want help, then you ladies must sort it out. You got no business to go there. Your husband got no business to go there.
The question says, living with modern in-laws, my daughter is seeing all the dressing and behavior of her boys. They are very shameless. My husband is the only son. I am married for the past 9 years. Do I have rights to move out from in-laws on the ground that I do not want my daughter to be like her boys in the near future? Inshallah, Ustad.
But that's the point I'm making. I think you're the third caller in this program today. But that's what exactly I'm saying. From day one, I told you from day one, you must live separate. So you don't get the bad influences, the external influences and pressure. They will come there and everything is for sale. They can see everything, you know, and so forth and so on and that. And then they will expect that you must entertain them. You must bring the bhajas and samosas and tea and this. And then their men want to speak to you. If you don't speak, they will say, oh, she belongs to the old ages. So for you to protect your iman, to protect your to protect everything and bring up your children in a proper Islamic environment and so on. Is imperative and compulsory upon you to demand and say that I want my own house, I want my desk. People get upset. We're not here to please people. We must please Almighty Allah. We must please Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu wa rasuluhu ahaqqa yurdu. Allah jalla wa la must be pleased with us. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be pleased with us. People get upset. It's not our business there. We must speak what Islam is teaching us. So therefore, I emphasize this point. I take my father-in-law, mother-in-law. They had 10 sons. How many sons? Mm. 10 sons, one daughter. My wife came last. So 10. They used to love with the sons, with the daughter-in-law, did that. Or people had big hearts. People had small homes, everything. So that was in the good old days, in the 50s, 60s, and all this. Today, people got big homes, small hearts. So remember, best you just stay separate from day one. So there's no all jagra and fighting and all these type of things. I told you the story, Maulana. You know the story.
Mm-hmm.
The story I gave 19, 20 years ago, it became a big hit in those days. So I think it is time to repeat this. Yeah, people like to repeat, you know, so this type of thing. You see, one day, I'm here at O.R. Tambo Airport. Mm. Now, the place near here is the Kempton Park. Our Maulana Lahir and all of them are there, mashallah, good people. So the bus was going from here, O.R. Tambo, to Kempton Park. One bus is a story, it's a Quran hadith, it's a story. So the bus was going from here, the airport, to Kempton Park, all with the mother-in-law. And second bus, all with the daughter-in-law. Lo and behold, it started drizzling, raining. So the bus with the mother-in-law, it kept sighing and they passed away. The mother-in-law, all, they passed away. So the daughter-in-law, some of them crying, but kali spaza, you know, just to show the world and all that they're happy that this dohi gay, this lady troubling us. So Oma is gone, it's very good. But they're crying, and all the spaza, kali, just to make the people. Then some are crying, really, they felt so much, you know, because of a good old lady. So all that. So in Islam, the mourning period is 3 days. You can't be saying that it's after 3 days and all that. You must be, life carries on. But this one lady was crying 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. So they asked her, how come you crying so much? You understand?
Mm.
So I'm speaking on the radio, you know, live. So it was night time. So I told them that, you know, that lady said, you know, I'm crying so much. My mother-in-law, she missed the bus. My mother-in-law, she missed the bus. Then I finished the program at night. I went home. Then the next day, when I went to the office, you know, I used to come late and all that.
Mm.
So So anyway, my colleagues that time, you weren't there that time.
Mm.
So anyway, they told me that there's one lady phoning 2-3 times and you to speak to you. So I came, and then after 2 minutes, 5 minutes, the lady phoned. She said, Mufti, you know what? Last night you said that mother-in-law missed the bus. It's my mother-in-law. She missed the bus. What will I do now? So I told her, sister, don't worry. I'll send another bus for her. So that is the reality we're living in nowadays. You understand?
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you got a deal,
mm-hmm.
I had my mother-in-law with me, blind, and she passed away there by me. They're in the same place where you are now, upstairs, and you downstairs. So I told Fatima, my wife, I said, my mother-in-law is blind. Nobody can make khidmat for her like how you can do.
Allah.
You bring her here, and we will take all the du'as. So that is what you must do in Islam. But who's going to listen today? You see, that's the big problem. So if you got that deal, you got that heart, then you will live together. But you don't have that today. The wife and the husband both want independence, and they say, that one lady told me in Arafat, Maulan Arafat in Arafat, she told me. She said, Mufti, I want to make dua. When a wuku, I say, what dua you want to make? She said, I want to make dua. My mother-in-law must pass away and die quickly.
Mm.
See, I told her that you in Arafat in a Hajj and you want to make dua, Allah give hidayat. So that's why I'm reiterating, in this day and this age, that is, you just live separate because your hearts are gone too small.
I see the brother in Pretoria who started loading is having a good laugh. He says, I will get the bus, but I'll be the driver with my mother-in-law, Ustad. He says he will die with his mother-in-law.
You see, your intention is tainted. You say, "Yen man's a dwarf, another man's a fruit." So you want to change that saying. You want to say, "Yen froze a dwarf, another man's a fruit." That you will drive to your mother-in-law and then she pass away and that money will come to you and your wife, you see. So that intention also is a little bit not tainted and polluted, brother.
Ustad, one more question, inshallah, before we leave you on your safar. Allah Ta'ala bless you and take you safely, inshallah. It says here, dear Mufti Saab, I really thoroughly enjoy your program. I am a quiet husband. My wife is a rattle pot. I am 55 years old. I don't know how old are you, Mufti Saab. I assume you must be 59 or 60. And I'm tired of the noise she makes. How do I get rid of her? I like peace and quiet. They call me Buddha, Ustad.
So they call you Buddha. Buddha means you're old, but you must tell them you're not old. I'm in my mid-60s now, my brother. So I'm senior to you. So you know now you're not going to solve the problem because you married for 30 years or more. Mm. So now you must start ta'aleem. Ta'aleem, come here. Let both of us read hadith every day, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and so forth. She likes to rattle, so tell her to read the hadith. Mm. Take Riyadu Saliheen, take the Fadail works and they tell her to read and so forth. Then both of you must have classes. Tell her, darling, start read surahs to me, I will read surahs to you. Then we both listen to the children. You must change the home environment. And then you will see when you do that, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتِ سَيَجْعَلُوا لَهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ غُدَّا. When you have true iman, you have righteous deeds, then Almighty Allah sends His mercy and His love. Your house will become a home, your home will become Darussalam, a home of peace, tranquility, a small jannat it will be. When things click, my brother, then it's a bed of roses. And when things don't click, then it's not only rattling, but it becomes a thorn, a bed of thorns and so forth. So it's for you to change it. Tell her, darling, from today, we're starting Asma'ul Husna. From today, we're starting Ta'aleem. So from tonight, it's Wednesday, everything very good, you started Wednesday in Maqasid Hasana. Our mother Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha said, starting on Wednesday, Allah Jalla wala will give you barakah and blessing. So inshallah, now I endure with brother Yusuf Ali and then our brother, mashallah, Alameen Templeton. Then 5:01 to 1:01 will be my tafsir. And today is Surah Namal, chapter 27, verses 30 to 38. And thereafter, inshallah, Surah Araf from the archives, and then the progress will continue 2 to 3 Mona Zahid and 3 to 3:30 the repeat of this morning's program, Q&A with Mona Arafat. Then 3:35 or so to 5 will be Brother Alameen Templeton. 5 to 7 will be Mona Khalid, inshallah. 7 to 7:30 will be the repeat of the tafsir of today. Then Mona Yunus Patel, 7:30 to 8. 8 to 10, our brother Shafaat Ahmad Khan. And I will be in East London, inshallah. Make dua for us, make dua for my wife. Allah Jalla wala, take us suffering wa hadaran all times. Allah keep us under His afia and Allah His hifadat. Jazakallah khair, Mawlana, and make dua for our Mrs. Hajra Daya. Ay Allah Ta'ala grant her Jannatul Firdaus. Grant our brother Abu Bakr Daya who passed away and all those who passed away with Iman. Let's end of the program with the dua. Rabbana filli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minina yawma yaqumul hisab. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa
alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved honorable Fadilatul Ustad live all the way from OR Tambo. We go live to Haji Yusuf Ali, who is sitting in front of me full of smiles, and he says, Mawlana Arafat, please listen attentively to the breaking news, 12 o'clock. Up next, Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.